I'm working my way through that overcrowded in-tray late in the afternoon when Harriet stalks in without knocking. Actually, I'm up to my eyeballs in a clipping from the Santa Cruz County Sentinel. It makes for fascinating reading. 2 dead in murder, suicide. 2 unidentified males, one believed to be a Saudi Arabian national, found dead in a house out toward Davenport. Police investigating weird occult symbols smeared on the walls in blood. Drugs suspected.
Ah, Bob,
she coos with malevolent solicitude.
Just the person I was looking for.
Oh, shit. What can I do for you? I ask. She leans over my desk.
I understand you called out the plumbers last night, she says. I happen to know that you're currently assigned to Angleton as JPS, which is a non-operational role, and therefore doesn't give you release authority for wet and dry issues. You are no doubt aware that cleanup funds are allocated on a per-department basis and require prior authorization from your head of department in writing. You didn't obtain authorization from Bridget, and funnily enough, you didn't approach me for a release either.
She smiles with chilly insouciance.
Would you like to explain yourself?
I can't, I say. I see. Harriet looms over me, visibly working on her anger.
You realize that last night you cost our working budget more than £7,000. That's going to have to be justified, Mr. Howard, and you are going to justify it to the Audit Commission when they come round next month. Let's see.
She flips through what looks for all the world like a commercial invoice.
Cleaning up Professor O'Brien's front door, sweeping her apartment for listeners and actors, rehousing Professor O'Brien in a secure apartment, armed escort, medical expenses. What on earth have you been up to?
I can't tell you, I say.
You're going to tell me. That's an order, by the way,
she says in conversational tones.
You're going to tell me in writing exactly what happened there last night and explain why I shouldn't take the expenses out of your pay packet.
Harriet. We both look round. Angleton's door is ajar. I wonder how long he's been standing there. You don't have clearance, he says. Let it drop. That's an order. The door shuts. Harriet stands there for a moment, her jaw working soundlessly as if she's forgotten how to speak. I commit the spectacle to memory for future enjoyment.
Don't think this is the last you'll hear of this,
she snaps at me as she leaves, slamming the door. 2 dead in murder, suicide. Ahnenerbe. Thule Gesellschaft. Incubi. German accents. Opener of the ways. Double hmm. I pull my terminal closer. It's only got access to low classification and public sources, but it's time to do some serious data mining. I wonder, just what have Yusuf Karadawi's friends and the Mukhabarat got to do with the last and most secret nightmares of the Third Reich? The next day, I go into the office and find Nick waiting for me at my desk like an overexcited trainee schoolmaster. This is an unscheduled intrusion in my plans, which mostly revolve around applying some security patches to the departmental file server and digging out the maintenance schematics to Angleton's antique Memex. Come along now. I've got something to show you, he says, in a tone that makes it clear I don't have any choice. He leads me up a staircase, carpeted in a thick bottle green pile that I haven't seen before, then along a corridor with dark, oak-panelled walls like a provincial gentleman's club from the 1930s, except that gentlemen's clubs don't come with closed-circuit TV cameras and combination locks on the doors. What is this place? I ask. Used to be the director's manor, he explains. When we had a director. When we had a director? I don't ask. He stops at a thick oak door and punches some digits into the lock, then opens it. After you, he says.